God, hallelujah, had his children to harvest on earth. Had his children to harvest on earth. Amen. God had a plan to harvest his children on earth. What did he do? He had only one seed. Amen. He planted that seed, the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But that one child will remain alone as long as he is alive. Oh, glory be to God. For him to have more children, that seed will die. And when he grows, then it will reach a maturity and then he will produce more of his own. Exactly the way you plant a seed. There is the planting season and there is the harvest season. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of... This is the way Jesus Christ put it. I think it's Matthew chapter 12. I mean, sorry, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is the way he put it, verse 23 and verse 24. He said, and Jesus answered them saying, take note of this very verse. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Take note of that. The hour has come that he, Jesus, will be glorified. If you catch this, and you are also a child of God, hallelujah, this is how God glorified Jesus. And then the next verse, he made it clear. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus is telling you, he is going to be glorified. What is the glorification process? He is going to die. Oh. I don't know how many people are understanding this thing I'm saying. I'm saying this because when God wants to start with you, he will do it in a way that he alone will take the glory. Watch what he does. Anything around you that will make you feel you are anything, he will make sure it dies first. God himself shook Job, destroyed everything he had. While Satan thought he was dealing with him, God was in the process of glorifying Job. Because all that he lost, he had 10 times. 10 times what he lost. Praise the Lord. That is why, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, if you are going to, see the way he put it. See the way he put it. Let's go to the next verse. I think it's the same verse. See the way he put it in verse 25. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my father honor. If he said, follow me, it means you are going to go through the same way he went through. You must die to your old nature for the new nature to come up. You must die to the old nature before your glorification can be made manifest. It is a process. After he died, hallelujah, see the way he was announcing his death. This death, he was calling it glorification. And then to make them understand, he just talked to them in parable. Except the corn of wheat dies, it abides alone. Hallelujah. I am the only son of God now. For me to have brethren, I must die. Oh, glory be to God. Because the seed of life is in him. Your harvest is in that seed that you hold. That's why you will never be rich if you are stingy. God ordained it like that. When you don't have anything again, that young one woman came here, another man came here last week or so. You can see all that he had, he put it in the offering. See, if this is your last money that you have, the last money that you have, don't take it. I enter a restaurant and buy food and eat. After some hours, you go shit and come out. That's all. Hungry will come again. There is a law that God has released. That last thing that you have, begin to think, we are spiritual people. What can I do for this money to multiply? For this money to multiply, declare it a seed. Begin to think, around you, a poor man, an orphan, a widow, somebody that is in need. I'm not talking about Babi Allah. There are some Babi Allah that are richer than you. You know what is Babi Allah? That is, give me for Prophet Muhammad's sake. Anytime you hear me, Babi Allah, Anabi means prophet, and the only prophet they know is Prophet Muhammad. So you are giving them because of Prophet Muhammad. Some of them, every day, your daily income no reach the thing where they get every day. Okay, now. So it's not every Babi Allah. Look, you should know who is in it. Hallelujah. Oh, go to a servant of God that you know is a servant of God indeed, and sow into his life. Or go to a project in the church. And when you are doing such, don't do it. That type of sowing you want to sow is the type of sowing that you sow secretly. And the Father who seeth in secret will reward you openly. It is between you and him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is what we learn from there. The only seed that you have, that seed that you have, that's why there is planting time. Just a bowl of seed out of bags that you harvested. You eat all the bags that you harvested in the harvest season. Then you just reserve a cup. Sometimes it's just a cup. Just a little bowl that you keep it. The most stupid thing any human being can do is to consume all his harvest. Because in the next planting season, you have nothing to plant. Therefore, the next harvest, you have nothing to harvest. Many of us, when you kneel down to pray, you have nothing to make reference to challenge God to bless you. Because that's why sometimes I will tell you here, I'm a spiritual person. I will tell you, present that offering by yourself to God. Here in this church, we don't have a register of tithes. So the tithe you pay is between you and God. And I will tell you, you tell the Lord from what source you are bringing that tithe. Between you and him, you are giving. It's inside an envelope. So it's between you and him. When it is your offering, it's between you and him. Nobody knows how much you are putting there. Because we want to give you reason to challenge God. Declare it a seed. It is a principle. And this principle that operates with every individual child of God is the same principle that God also operates generally in his kingdom, even in the growth of the church, in his salvation plan, in his divine agenda. The seed of life, the Bible says, eternal life is in the soul. Hallelujah. And he remains alone. He has to die.
Now, when he dies, then he resurrects. Praise the Lord.
And as he resurrects, what you see now will not just be that corn of wheat. It is the life that comes and springs up and produces how many of us now? How many of us now? Why? Because the life that is in him, he spread it. It passed through the process into the seed and produced these fruits that we see today. Hallelujah. So, that is why we say, by your fruit will we know you. And that is why also, when it comes to the salvation, the process of the church, he, God, declared a period as the sowing period, the first church age. And the day of Pentecost was when he released, the church was inaugurated. But if that church, before the rapture will take place, hallelujah, we now have a picture of the seed. That first seed is what God enabled us to see in the Bible, the New Testament. It gives you a picture of the seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost. So now we know how the seed looks like. So that when it will become time for the harvest, there will be no time for the harvest until that same seed that was planted is reflected again. When that tree grows. Now, what happens is that you now use this parable. He allow for you to understand why he, God, allow the dark ages, almost 1,000 years, until the word of God became, you know, totally removed from the people. That is the period from 8325. That was the period the church, he, God, allowed it to die. For 1,000 years, it died. Then he said, you go and sleep. You don't know how, what will happen. Because you think that you are planted in there is covered. No, there is a law that works within that seed. You can't destroy that seed. That seed will grow. So Jesus Christ comes in Mark chapter 4, from 26, verse 26, what we read. He says, that is, he's telling us the story of the church. He said, first, it will grow in three stages. The fourth stage is the rapture. Hallelujah. The three works of grace that was destroyed totally through that woman mixing it with leaven, destroying the whole meal, the works of grace, those three stages will begin to grow up again. First, justification will come out. That is the blade that shoots out in the life of the growth of a plant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I took time yesterday because I didn't read botany and I'm not a farmer. I took time to try to get to know how the plant grows. I tried to study it. And exactly, I noticed that it is actually three major stages. The first thing is that the plant will die. And then the second stage is the germination. That is the blade that springs up. That plant will germinate. Then after germinate, the germination there is speaking about justification, which began to take place in the fifth church age, the age of Sardis. Then we have the developmental stage of that plant, which is the process of sanctification, the process of your Christian growth, the process of cleansing up. Then we have the fertilization. The developmental stage there is the process of sanctification. After sanctification, the third works of grace is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that is when life comes in. That is when you receive life. And the next stage of that plant, after developmental stage, is fertilization stage. Fertilization there
is by process of pollination. A process by which the pollens are transferred from the anther, the male part of the plant, to the stigma, the female part, thereby enabling fertilization and reproduction. Pollinization that produces fertilization, and when you talk of fertilization, you are talking about the production of life, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost stage in the church. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't beat God to it. You can't. He set everything in order so that you don't have to go to school of theology to understand salvation. Nature is speaking to us. Even the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, he is speaking about resurrection. He's also speaking about the seven church ages. He's speaking about the grace age, the rising of the sun, and Jesus himself, he spoke it. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 24, he told us, the rising of the sun, so shall the coming of the Lord be, as the light, lightning from the east, and set in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The light that rose from the east in Israel, the light of God, watch how it traveled through the seven church ages. The light was going. Finally, in the seven church ages, it ends in the west, the ministry of William Branham. And after the west, where will the light come out again? In the east, the gospel will go back to Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to understand salvation even by nature. And so, God began in this age for the proper restoration. Let me add another one. Even science. I spoke this in one of my messages. The gospel according to science. Using even the process. These three works of grace. Three works of grace. Before the rapture. Like we see in the growth of the plant, even science, the development of science for mobility. What was in the 15th century thereabout, when God began with Luther in restoring back the works of grace? That was the period man invented the cart for a horse to pull you. The means of transportation. The horse will be in front and the cart like that, and then, you know, they'll be pulling it like that. They modified it with wheels, modified like that. They were using horses in those days. Now, they measured now on the cart. That's why all the power of your engine is rated by horsepower. They call it horsepower. The ability for it to pull whatever load it has to pull along by horsepower. So, and now the more horsepower, the more power the means of transport becomes. Now, that was the period that God was restoring justification. By the age that science moved into automobiles, cars, it was more of horsepower, more power. That was the age. Praise the Lord. That was the age. Amen. Amen. That was the age of sanctification. That was the age that God was restoring the second works of grace. Sanctification. More power of the Holy Ghost. Justification is an action of the Holy Ghost. Sanctification is after the church shall live by faith, but without holiness, no man will see God. More power. You are not to drop justification and hold on to sanctification. It was more power added to what you had before. Praise the Lord. That was the period that automobiles were being invented here and here. And then it came to the time that the Landau brothers discovered aeroplane. Hallelujah. That man can leave earthly things and begin to go a little bit heavenly. That was the Pentecostal age. where supernatural, because it's supernatural that a plane big as it is within the air moving.
Hallelujah. When science got to that stage, that was the stage. That was the time that Pentecost, the third works of grace, was restored. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But that is first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. Then the next verse. Let's read it. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Amen. Verse 28. First the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that the full corn in the ear. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, the fruit has to be brought forth first. Then the next stage comes in. Immediately, he put it in the sickle because the harvest, the rapture, has come. Hallelujah. In this age, after aeroplane, we are invented. And everybody was talking of the wonderful invention. Before, you will travel by sea from here to England, it will take you 3 weeks. You are inside water. Now they invented something. Hallelujah. That from here to England, just under 6 hours, you are there. You can go in the morning and come back in the evening. That's supernatural. Amen. That was the time too. The miracles, signs and wonders were happening. The power, the gifts were released to the church. Praise the Lord. Now, when this stage reaches, when the gift reaches, God is finishing his work. It is from there now. Amen. What was planted, it will begin to show forth. That is why the rapture has not taken place. Because the blade has to grow, justification. Sanctification has to be restored. The gifts have to be restored. Hallelujah. But there was also a life. He knows what he's looking for, what he planted. It is now in this same age of what we call the time that we call the bright age. This is the period now that suddenly in science they begin to have the astronauts that go now. They invented a spacecraft that can take off from here, break through the gravitational atmosphere of the earth. The gravity of the earth cannot hold it. It breaks through the barrier and goes and is on her own. And this time around now, there is a power there. There, it doesn't need fuel. There, he doesn't need the engine to work. When he breaks forth and goes there, he remains there. And then they put a man in that craft and took him to another planet and dropped him in the moon. Speaking of the edge, that this is the edge that God is coming to take some people away from this earth and place them in another place known as the rapture. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the restoration process going on. I've gone ahead of studies to just let you know the process. Why the blade? First and foremost, trying to let you know now why that seed has to die first. Why God allowed the church to die? The Roman church made it, killed everything about the light. But it was fulfilling God's law of redemption. God's law of salvation, his agenda to reap what he has sown on the day of Pentecost. To follow a law. God operates by a principle, by a law. If you don't know him, you'll be crying, you think you are suffering. Once you know you are in God's perfect will, all things work together for good. Oh yes. They had to put Joseph in prison before he could be glorified. You have to die before you are glorified. Before he became a prime minister,
In the finishing, Kalabata put him in a dungeon. And he was forgotten there. And when they thought they had forgotten Jesus in the grave, they thought that he resurrected. And given a name that is above every other name. Had the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling somebody, that's somebody's testimony here. Very soon, where they didn't know you before, you will become renowned. I am talking to somebody here. I don't know what you are going through. Everyone that God has a special purpose in your life, you will go through this process. So when you hear that I went to prison, I'm speaking about my process of my glorification. Hallelujah. If I didn't go to prison, I would have been a retired, unbelieving general now. Amen. But now, glory be to God. Their light is over. My light has just started shining. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so that was exactly what he was fulfilling in this Sardisian church age. It is also the fulfillment. This is the age of Matthew 13 verse 44. Can we read it? This is the age. This is the time. This parable. This parable, among the seven parables that Jesus Christ gave, this is the fifth parable. And this fifth parable is the fifth church age. It's speaking about the Sardisian church age. Just in one paragraph, Jesus Christ said it this way. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, somebody shout man. He said, when a man, so it's the story of a man. A man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. And that age, Sardisian church age, fulfilled that parable. Because it is agreed that the messenger, the star messenger to that age, was Martin Luther. And this is what William Branham had to say, so that you understand why I stressed a man and him selling all he had and buying that treasure that is hid in a field. And this is the way William Branham put it in page 245 concerning the messenger. This is what he has to say. The messenger to this age is the best known messenger of all the ages. He was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a brilliant scholar of gentle disposition. He was studying to be a lawyer when the lingering illness and death of a near friend caused him to become serious concerning the spiritual condition of his life. He entered the Augustinian convent at Erfurt in 1505. There he studied philosophy and also the word of God. He lived a life of severest penance, but all the outward acts could not banish his sense of sin. He said, quote, I tormented myself to death to make peace with God, but I was in darkness and found it not. Unquote. The vicar general of his order, Stulpice, helped him to gain the insight that his salvation will have to be the experience of an inner work rather than a ritual. With this encouragement, he further sought God. Later, he became a priest. As yet, he was not saved. He became an avid and deep student of the word and of the great theological works extant. He was sought out as a teacher and preacher for his depth of knowledge and great sincerity. To fulfill a vow he had made to himself, he went to Rome. There, he saw the futility of the church's imposed works that we are to bring salvation. And the word of God struck home to his heart, quote, the just shall live by faith. On his return home, the evangelical truth of this scripture flooded his mind, and he was set free from sin and born into the kingdom of God. Soon after this, he was elevated to Doctor of Divinity and commissioned, quote, to devote his whole life to study and faithfully expound and defend the Holy Scriptures, unquote. This he did, and with such effect that his heart and the hearts of those around him were deeply fixed upon the truth of the word. The word soon came into open conflict with the abuses of church creeds and doctrines. Thus, when Leo the Tenth became Pope and John Tetzel came to sell indulgences for sin, those of you who are Catholics, what is an indulgence? Who was a core Catholic? Who was deep in the what is an indulgence? What is an indulgence? Because he said they were selling indulgences. Yes.
According to the teaching, indulgence is pardon for a punishment that is due for you for your sin. Thank after you. The sin has been forgiven.
Thank you.
That is, after forgiving your sin, you have to suffer for it.
Yes.
Before it will be erased.
That is indulgence.
Yes, sir.
So they were selling it.
Yes.
What do they mean by selling the indulgence?
Selling indulgences.
Instead of you to pay. Yes.
Instead of you to pay. So it's like you pay, you give a penance, that you punish, you be punished for the sin, either by money or you do a work.
You will pay so that you will not suffer the punishment.
Yes. You in modern time now, they give you prayers to make.
That is, instead of you to be punished, come and pay money.
Yes.
That is it now. They were selling indulgences. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Page 246. Okay. Thus, when Leo the Tenth became Pope, and John Tetzel came to sell indulgences for sin, Luther had no choice but to rise up against this anti-scriptural teaching. First, he thundered from the pulpit against it, and then wrote his famous 95 theses, which in October 31, 1517, he nailed to the door of the Castle Church in Germany. In a short time, Germany was ablaze, and the Reformation was on. Now let it be remembered that Martin Luther was not the only one who had protested the Roman Catholic Church. He was but one of many. Others had denied the popes their self-granted temporal and spiritual power. And even among the popes, there were minor temporary reforms. Yes, there were many others who raised issues. But in the case of Luther, God's time was ripe for a definite move that would be the beginning of the restoration of the church to an outpouring of the Holy Ghost at a much later date. Now, Martin Luther himself was a sensitive, spirit-filled Christian. He was definitely a man of the word, for he not only had a profound passion to study it, but to make it available to all in order that all might live by it. He translated the New Testament and gave it to the people. This laborious work he did himself, correcting a passage as much as 20 times. He gathered around him a group of Hebrew scholars, among whom were Jews, and translated the Old Testament. This monumental work of Luther is still the work upon which all successive works of the scripture in Germany have rested. He was a mighty preacher and teacher of the word, and insisted especially in his first years of public eminence that the word was the sole criterion. Thus, he was against works as a means of salvation and baptism as a means of regeneration. He taught the mediation of Christ apart from man, as was the original and Pentecostal concept. He was a man given to much prayer, and I learned that the more work he had to do,
and the more solely he was pressed for time, the more of his time he gave to God in prayer in order to ensure satisfactory results. He knew what it was to battle with the devil, and he said that Satan one day visibly appeared to him, and he flung the ink well at him, bidding him go. Another time, two fanatics came to him to induce him to join with them in banishing all priests and Bibles. He discerned the spirit within them and sent them off. It is recorded of Dr. Martin Luther in Sowa's History, Volume 3, page 406, that he was, quote, a prophet, evangelist, speaker in tongues, interpreter in one person, endowed with all nine gifts of the Spirit. What stirred his heart by the Holy Ghost, and which was the little green shoot that signified the truth was coming back to the church as it was known in Pentecost, was the doctrine of justification. Salvation by grace apart from works. I recognize that Dr. Luther did not believe only and preach only justification, but that was his major theme, as indeed it had to be, for that is the basic doctrine of the truth of the word. He will be forever known as the instrument in the hand of God who revived this truth. He was the fifth messenger, and his message was, the just shall live by faith. Surely, we admit that he knew and did teach that we are to go from faith to faith. His marvelous understanding of sovereignty, election, predestination, and other truths show him to be a great man in the world. Yet, I say again, as do historians, God used him to bring to the people God's standard against works. The just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that was Martin Luther. He had an experience. I read another history where he came, as usual, to pay for his sins in his penance, crawling somewhere. There was a particular place they have to crawl, go down there, see the feet of Mary. If you are able to crawl, 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 crawl your leg and hand, crawl, 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 the more you suffer, the more your sins are remitted. And in case you are not able to do that suffering, then if you die, you go to purgatory. Then you remain there, then your living relation will have to pay for you. So if you cannot do all the wahala to pay for your sins, then or pay for the sins of your brother or your mama that is in purgatory, so that it can be transferred from there to heaven, according to Roman Catholic doctrine. If you can't, then you can settle it with money. Oh, praise God. Ah, our eyes of understanding, he has opened up our eyes. Victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. So jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God. Was original land. Do you know, up to today, there are members of that religion that still believe and practice it. And some of you were there too. Amen. Hey, God did not allow me to go through it. May I for talk past Luther. Amen. So the one I know, that the one where I read, while he was there struggling and doing that, he said, the history said, a voice spoke to him, Luther. All this wahala you are suffering, the just shall live by faith. That is what entered his spirit. He paused there, went back. That is all that God needed to drop in his heart. He went back and studied again. Come, what is it that guarantees our salvation? Salvation is by faith in the finished works on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all. Oh,
Call him my own. Sing, heartless, a crimson stain. He was she might as well. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus paid it all.
He paid it all.
Hallelujah. See, had left a crimson stain. He was his white as snow.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
At the cross, where I thought so was alive. At the bodies of my heart, run away. It was there my faith. I received my God, and now I am happy all the day.
I love that man.
Because I live.
Oh,
he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me.
Oh, I love that man. Say it again. Oh, Galilee,
I love that man.
I love that man.
Galilee,
hallelujah.
Oh, he has done so very much for me.
Hallelujah, he has forgiven me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some songs that Catholic Church cannot sing. Oh, that man of Calvary. Oh,
has wrought my heart for me.
Oh, has died to set me free. Let me hear the brothers now. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody now. Oh, hallelujah.
Has won my heart for me.
Oh,
and I to set you free.
Oh,
God of Calvary.
So I cherish the old rugged cross.
Be my trust is the last I know.
I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Every time you saw
Continue next Sunday.